I don't know how many of you all have spent much time in the book of Leviticus or Deuteronomy, but I would encourage you to go back and read through the law, the Jewish law, that's the Mosaic law that's presented there in the Bible. It is fascinating reading. It's very informative as well. There were something like 613 commandments in the Jewish law. And half of those were things that we should do, encouraging us. Like, observe the Sabbath, keep it holy, honor your father and your mother. And the other half were things that we shouldn't do at our own peril, like murder, like commit adultery, like steal. You know, those things that we've done and left undone, as we say in the general confession. Jesus here in our gospel reading was asked by a Pharisee, a keeper of the law, an expert. So, Jesus, which commandment in all of the law is the greatest? Well, he was very well aware that they were trying to trick him. He was also very well aware that they were abusing and controlling others by their knowledge and command of the law. They were using it in ways that it was never intended, like they were trying to do here with him. Jesus was also well aware that there were two important, indeed critical, elements of the law that have to be held together, can't be separated. And that is the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Because the letter of the law is lifeless and indeed potentially deadly if it is separated from the spirit of the law. That's why ultimately the Jewish law was ineffective and it failed. It didn't have the ability to save the people, to set them free, because the people had simply lost touch with the spirit of the law. They forgot their Lord and the heart of God. And the legal experts went down this road of holding this lifeless law over the head of the people, beating them up. Without some firsthand knowledge of the author and his intent for the law, the spirit of the law can be used to, the letter of the law can be used to say and to do anything that any crafty individual wants it to say. And in many ways, we see that going on in our own legal system today. When we lose the spirit of the law, the spirit, if you would, of our founding fathers, or put it this way, the moral foundation for which our system is built upon, if we take away that moral foundation, then we are left with a very hollow, weak, and dangerous law. And in many ways, our system is being used in ways that it was never intended. And what we'll see is that morality, the understanding, the personal relationship with God, cannot be legislated. Morality can't be legislated. It has to come organically from a living relationship with the author. It has to come from the heart. As I think about my own childhood, we didn't have a body of law that was written down and nailed to, the refrigerator. We had an ongoing relationship with the authority in our house, our parents. The spirit of the law was imposed upon our hearts day in and day out. It was impressed upon our minds. We bore it around on our foreheads, sometimes on our rear ends. We knew very well what was expected of us. We knew when we were doing right. We knew what we were doing wrong. We knew whether we were willing to suffer those consequences or not. We knew what they were. True authority has to be grounded in a personal relationship, not in a bunch of lifeless words that aren't tied back to anything, that have no moral foundation. So this really wasn't a trick question for Jesus, because, of course, he was intimately in relationship with his Father's heart. He knew the author of the law. He knew the purpose of the law. He was able to summarize the entire law in these two verses of Scripture, chapter 6, verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it," Leviticus 19:18, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus goes on to say that the entire body of law is summarized in these two commandments. God gave us this law out of His mercy, not out of His judgment. He gave us this law not to restrict our good pleasure and fun, but that we might have life, and that we might have it abundantly, to the fullest, that we might be able to live together in relationship with God and one another. I dare say that God is not a God of rules, but primarily, as we hear in Jesus' word, a God of relationship. That when we put that primary relationship first, the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, then everything else is put into its proper context. We can understand the purpose and the meaning of the law. We get those out of order, like the Pharisees had. We forget who we are and where we came from. The law is nothing but a weapon to be used against others. God wants to be in relationship with us. He said, "I give you this commandment today that it would be upon your hearts, that it would be in your minds, that you would impress them on your children, you would talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Essentially, don't let go of it. Keep it with you. Every day, every minute." He reminded us of this because He knows that we are forgetful people. Just give us a second and we will forget. We need to be constantly reminded and thus keep God in our midst and in our presence, lest we forget Him. The Spirit of God cannot be legislated. It must be in our hearts. It must be a part of who we are. And the only way that it becomes that way is because we have stayed in relationship with God. We can't expect anybody else to impart this to our children. This is our most important job, to take what was given to us. Excuse me. Take what was given to us, to embody it, and to pass it on to the next generation. This isn't something you can farm out. This isn't something that you can let somebody else take charge of. This is our job, and it's the most important task that we have as parents, as community, as keepers of the faith, not keepers of the law, keepers of the relationship with Jesus. Unfortunately, we do see a generation being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine because apparently we've lost our collective memories. We've lost our moral foundation. We've lost the thing that tethers us, our first love, our primary relationship. We no longer know the stories of God's dealings with His people, thus we're unable to embody them and impress them upon our children and our children's children. How do we rectify that situation? We need to remember, as my predecessor loved to say, who we are and whose we are. The Bible's not a legal document to use as a weapon against people. It's a living document. It's a living document such that within its pages there's a living Word of God that has the power to give us life and hope and love, the power to transform us, that within its pages we come to know, we come to have a personal living relationship with Jesus, God Himself. And without that, nothing else holds together. The fact of the matter is that nobody can keep the commandment of the law. Not you or me, not the Pharisees, not those who are trying to hold it over one another. None of us can keep the law. And by God's grace, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as He said, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. To fulfill it. To do for us, for you and for me and for the Pharisees, what we could not do on our own. By God's grace, He has satisfied the law for us, so that all of us are united in our inability to live up to the law, but through Christ and in Christ and by Christ, you and I can love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen.